New Hampshire State Police segment each week, brought to you by Auto Fair. Sergeant Joe Ronchi is joining us on safe driving and having designated driver for the Super Bowl. He also knows a little bit about football. Sources tell me he works out of Troop A, by the way, over in Epping. And he played football for UNH and comes from a family of law enforcement. First of all, thank you for what you do, Sergeant. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
What are your concerns on a big weekend or big day or a big night like Sunday?
Naturally, we're going to be concerned with impaired driving. DWI is an all-the-time concern for us, but on certain nights and holiday weekends, we have a heightened awareness. Super Bowl Sunday is certainly one of those instances, and we'll do our best to combat the problem and get as many troopers on the road as we can.
There are things people can do. There are ways to avoid something you're going to regret for months or years, right? And these things are costly. If you do get stopped for impairment, it's not a slam-dunk process, correct?
No, costly, that's an understatement. You know, you certainly can't put a price on the lives of the many people that are lost to this problem. You know, but the process to actually deal legally with the DWI charge, you know, just a run-of-the-mill DUI first charge is going to run somebody close to about $10,000, oftentimes a little more, sometimes a little less, but costly in every way possible.
And not to mention getting hurt or hurting someone else, because as you said, that's something you really can't put a price on. But what about, do you recommend really having a strategy if you're going to go out and have a few more? Because the other thing, Sergeant, you know this, is it's not just the game. It's the afternoon, right? People might go to someone's home a couple hours before the game, watch all the pregame stuff, and the game is almost anticlimactic sometimes. I'm not saying that's the case with me. I love watching it. But, you know, it could be several hours. And if you're out and about and on the road, you can have a plan, right? You can have someone else. You can designate. You can control that, right?
Yeah, you absolutely can. And that's something that we advocate for is, you know, taking the responsibility to plan ahead. You know, talk with your friends, the people that you're going to be spending time with throughout the day, and make sure that you have a sober driver. If somebody is unable to do that for whatever reason, we have plenty of rideshare opportunities that exist all over the place. So at this day and age, there's really no excuse for somebody to be arrested for drive while intoxicated. It's a completely selfish decision and one that is easily avoided.
Sergeant Joe Ronchi out of Troop A. Sergeant, I want to ask you how many years you've been on and why you wanted to be a state trooper. I think your dad was involved in the Portsmouth Police Department, so you come from a family of this. Before I do, can you talk a little bit about impairment in a broader spectrum? Because sometimes, you know, the focus is on drinks or alcohol, but impairment is impairment. Am I right or wrong on that?
Yeah, correct. Impairment can be anything from, as you stated, drugs and alcohol to fatigue or even distraction. I know distracted driving is a qualification in and of itself, but anything that's going to affect your ability to safely operate a motor vehicle upon the roadway is really an impairing factor. So it certainly runs the gamut.
Now, if someone, I'm just asking a hypothetical because it doesn't have to be on Super Bowl. It could be at 3 o'clock this afternoon. If a trooper or local law enforcement stops someone who's weaving, you know, on a side road or a main road, and they go over and talk to the person, and maybe you can walk us through this a little bit. And there's no alcohol involved, but they just say to the person, this is all hypothetical, Sergeant. You were kind of crossing the line for about a half mile, so I'm just making sure everything's okay. And they say, no, I'm fine. Well, you were all over the road. And were you texting? No, I'm fine. You on any medications or anything? I don't know if you can ask that. And they say, yeah, I'm on a certain pain med for this or that. And do you mind me asking when you took the pill? If a trooper or someone determines that someone's on like a prescribed narcotic, but they're not drinking and they are impaired, their ability to operate the vehicle, because sometimes you'll read on these bottles, you know, don't operate heavy machinery. The last time I checked, a pickup truck or a car is heavy machinery. Can that loose scenario qualify for impairment?
Yeah, 100%. Unfortunately, we do see it. I don't want to say often, but it's not unfamiliar to us where we see people that are just simply doing what their doctor's telling them to do. They're taking their prescribed medication, but maybe they're not reading that fine print on the label, which does urge people oftentimes to avoid driving, avoid operating heavy machinery, as you said. And it's incumbent upon each individual as they are ingesting this medication to make sure they're doing it in the safest way possible.
And, Sergeant, without getting too granular, because I think sometimes these are interesting things people may not be aware of, you run into a lot on mariner safety. A lot of times people are out in a boat and they don't realize the same rules and laws apply, or imagine aviation as well. But let me ask you this on the roadways. If you had someone who was just following a prescribed You know, I took a prescription medication 2 hours ago for I just had back surgery, and they're, you know, a little loopy or impaired. And the officer, local or state, determines that there is impairment and they shouldn't drive anymore. So they go through the process of whether it's an arrest or not. Is the person just as responsible if they had had a number of drinks and were technically drunk? Is that, are they under the law legally going to go through the same process, or is there a, is it subjective?
No, much of what we do is gray. Very rarely do we deal with black and white situations. One of the few times is with impaired driving, however, and as the law states, it's qualified by impairment to any degree, and that could be from having, you know, 100 beers, or it could be from taking a prescribed medication. Whatever the root of that impairment is it naturally our concern at the time? We just have to deal with the impairment itself and get that driver off of the road. Now, as you're dealing with people, naturally, we're human beings, and we try to help people as best we can, and that's essentially what we're doing in these instances. But, you know, communicating with these people and finding out if it is simply just a prescription medication issue, make sure that they're aware of what's going on. And, you know, as we try to reduce the DWI problem really throughout the nation, but specifically here in New Hampshire, we rely on education and awareness and, again, that line of communication with everybody that we're dealing with on an individual basis.
Police Sergeant Joe Ronchi in our with us, GMI Studios. He's out of Troop A. Sergeant, thanks again. Talking a little bit about driver awareness and safety and responsibility, really, going into the big game on Sunday. Let me switch gears. How many years have you been with the state police?
I've been with the state police since 2010, so we're going into 12 years. I worked for a local agency, Somersworth Police, for 5 years before that. So all in, about I'm in my 17th year.
Do you enjoy it?
I do. I think like everybody else, you know, some days I might question it, but certainly on a day-to-day basis, I love what I do. Very rewarding, and no 2 days are the same, which I don't think a lot of professionals could say that.
And what number did you wear at UNH?
It was a lifetime ago, Jack. I wore number 50. I came in with Coach McDonald in his first year as a head coach, graduated in 2003, and met a lot of good folks and have some fond memories of my time at UNH.
No, I just have good sources, that's all. Someone wanted me to ask you what number you wore, so I think it's great. What made you want to get into law enforcement, Sergeant?
Well, law enforcement's really been a constant throughout my entire life. My father, Mike Ronchi, was a Portsmouth police officer for 30 years. He served in the patrol in the investigative bureau in Portsmouth. I saw the appreciation that he had coming home from work every day, the pride that he took in his job, and he was just an excellent role model for me. And I've always looked up to my father, and that continues to this day. So it was a natural course for me to enter law enforcement in his footsteps, and through the progression of my own career, I've landed with the state police at Troop A.
Now, let me just ask you this. You know, you've been on a number of years, and I still, and I've been a you know, I have my beliefs being a host, and take a moment on this because I don't want to rush this. I've sensed locally the community relationship with law enforcement in New Hampshire is a lot healthier and more vibrant, and in a good one. And then in other states and some of the other major cities, I've sensed, you know, morale with law enforcement is a tough one. I mean, I look at what's happened in New York City just at the beginning of the new year, how many police officers have been murdered in the line of duty. And I look at this, and even in New Hampshire, we've had questions of some people and their view on, you know, is law enforcement part of good community response, or are they the problem? And we've even had some debate at the State House on some people who are on committees and what they've said in the past about, police as it pertains to certain stops and all that. I guess my question is, overall, do you feel like New Hampshire has your back? Do you feel that the people appreciate what you do? Do you feel that sense of support? And when you talk to colleagues around the country, is it different here, is I guess what I'm asking?
I do, and I think that's unanimous across the board, at least with the Department of Safety. We feel support all the time, even in, you know, at its worst times when everybody was questioning the role of public safety and what role police should have in everyday lives, and we were dealing with protests and demonstrations and riots, and oftentimes we would show up at these events and people were simply there to voice their opinion and make their own statement simultaneous to recognizing us as law enforcement and the need for our presence and thanking us for being there and thanking us for what we do and keeping them safe at the same time they're getting their own message across. So I do feel support throughout New Hampshire. I think that's unanimous with all the troopers across the board. I think it's unique. This section of the country, doesn't always follow the same trend as the remainder of the country.
Right.
And I say to everybody, the pendulum swings in either direction. You know, there's going to be times where people are questioning what we do. And again, our roles in everyday life, but it comes back and we always see that support. So I do feel support. Yes.
Let me ask it from the human side, Sergeant, before I let you go, and I appreciate what you do and your time with us this morning. Good morning, New Hampshire. You know, I've been at the, this show and doing the show a number of years like you in law enforcement. I've been at it a while. But before that, I did a lot of years in television news, and, you don't wear a uniform, but when you'd go out in public, just to get a sandwich or you're sitting there, and sometimes someone will come up and say, oh, hey, are you so-and-so? And you just talk with someone, and some days you might have felt like talking, and other days you might have just wanted to say, no, yeah, whatever. But you're wearing a state police uniform. And I think they're the best uniforms of troopers in the country, or some of them. But when you go in to get a cup of, a water or a sandwich, or you're just going in to pay you're getting a convenience store after getting some gas or fuel, and you're wearing that uniform, and for the most part, on a given day, do people comment or say anything to you, or just walk by and nod, or you're not looking for anything? But I'm just saying, do people come up and just say, hey, by the way, yeah, because you're hard to miss in a uniform if you're not undercover. Do people talk to you about what you do, or do you feel people are a little quiet and standoffish?
No, routinely, I would say it's well over 50%. I would say 75% of the time, if I walk out of my cruiser, say, to walk into a store to get a drink or whatever, people will thank me for what I do. It's a simple thank you for your service. I appreciate what you do. A lot of times it goes a step further where they kind of flag you down and they have a story that they want to tell you about an interaction that oftentimes it's not even them. It's a friend or a relative that, hey, listen, I know this person and they went through this traumatic situation and state police were there or the local police were there to help them through it. And it really meant a lot. And I just want to say thank you. And we do see that quite a bit. And that kind of carries us through those difficult times that I mentioned earlier, too. So it's nice to see that.
Good to hear. All right, Sergeant, thanks for your time. I appreciate the awareness for Sunday and the big game. Thank you very much. And only I'm going to ask is, I assume if you played college football, you might be a little bit of a fan. And you can say this because I'm not going to ask if you're betting Cincinnati or L.A. Who do you have?
You got to go with the underdogs. Go Bengals, rooting for Joey B.
Thanks, Sergeant. Have a great one.